Our staff works hard amongst and around very dedicated lay people. And I'd like you to give them another round of applause. And yourself, you work hard. Thank you. To have faith to believe for things we cannot see with our eyes, we have to have faith in God who makes all things possible. It's one thing to have faith that something will happen. It's another thing to believe that we serve a God who can actually make it reality. We serve a big God, church. These reports or declarations you heard this morning, they range from the simple to the complicated. But none of them are outside of the realm of possibility with the God that we serve. They're the heart of your pastors. It's just a sample of what we believe God for this year. All of it transposes into our greatest hope, and that is that people will come to faith in Jesus Christ, and that the church will dive deeper into the Lord and seek more of Him. I believe wholeheartedly in the projections, faith projections of our staff and laity. I believe that what they are after at the end of the day is souls. I believe in what we're aiming at. By faith, I believe that our hearts will be touched and moved to go deeper in prayer, because I believe it is the catalyst for anything God does. In fact, if we're not praying corporately, there is no foundation for our faith, and we stand on sand that will surely shift with changing tides. I read this morning by Leonard Ravenhill. This much is certain in all churches. The smallest meeting numerically is the prayer meeting. If weak in prayer, we are weak in everything. The true church lives and moves and has its being in prayer. By faith, I am praying for a deepening of our understanding of what it means to be a sanctified church, one who is filled with the Holy Spirit and power. And again, unless and until we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, all that we do will fall flat, and nothing will be more than programs and efforts in futility. I believe strongly in discipleship. I believe strongly that God has called every believer to be a disciple of someone. Whether you're drinking a cup of coffee with someone, or talking to them on the phone, or sharing with them something out of God's word or life experience, God calls all of us to be discipled and to disciple someone. I believe in the connect process. My faith believing this morning centers around these three simple ideas: that we must pray and believe God to do what others might think is impossible. And so we'll have to pray big prayers because we have a big God. I believe that we should strive to be holy like God is holy, and to be a church sanctified and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I believe in the process of discipleship. And I believe these things will advance by faith. Practically, by faith, we stepped out this year and resurfaced our parking lot. You have given $56,743.78, and I think you ought to give yourself a round of applause. And give God a round of applause. We only lack $32,256.22 unless someone gave it this morning, and then we owe zero. Believe in faith, right? I am believing that together we can pay this off before we renew our mortgage in November and we'll have to roll it in to our million-dollar debt that we already have. I believe the Lord will help us do that. I'm just believing in faith with every dime and nickel and dollar and $100 and $1,000 checks, just like you've already done. The Lord will help us. By faith, we've launched a committee structure about a month old now, which will help us do the work of ministry with many hands and hearts at work. If you're looking for a place of ministry, there are about 7 or 8 committees who are at work. And if you're interested, please see me. By faith, we want to reach deeper into our partner school, Bridgeport Elementary School. Dr. Hawkins is here today, and she didn't even know I was going to say this, but we are believers in our neighbor and our schools, and I'm happy to say that right into your eyeballs, Dr. Hawkins. We love you and love Bridgeport and love our community. By faith, we will reach deeper into our near community with the good news of Jesus through ministries like Grief Share and Divorce Care and financial management classes like Financial Peace University as God raises up leaders to do so. Last night and this morning I was reading a devotional and I came across these words from Oswald Chambers, who is giving a warning to believers in churches that would place too much faith in what we're doing and not in the one who does it. Does that make sense? We must have faith to believe that things will happen. But hear his words for clarity. He says, to be certain of God means that we're uncertain in all of our ways. That's living by faith, not knowing what tomorrow may bring. We're uncertain of the next step, but we're certain of God. As soon as we abandon ourselves to God and do the task he has placed closest to us, he begins to fill our lives with surprises. When we have the right relationship with God, life is full of spontaneous, joyful uncertainty and expectation. Jesus says, believe also in me, John 14:1. Not believe certain things about me. Leave everything to him and it will be gloriously and graciously uncertain how it will come in, but you can be certain that he will come. Remain faithful to him, church. So when it's all said and done, we must place our confidence not in what we want God to do or how we want him to operate, or what we believe in faith. Our confidence must be in God and God alone. Through him comes exceedingly more than we could ask, think, or imagine. As our ushers begin to prepare our hearts to receive the communion elements in a moment, at the heart of everything that we're doing, all that we're striving to accomplish, all of it is because God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Anything our staff does, anything our church does, everything from altar calls to financial meetings, all of it is because God has put us on this earth to reach out in love so that everyone knows that Jesus loves them. Jesus died on the cross. He forgave us of our sins and has called us to announce the gospel message without compromise. In Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 14, We read the words of Jesus as he conducted what we call the Last Supper. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And he said, "I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks for it. And he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." And after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." This morning, as we receive communion, we do so strategically. Strategically placed at the end of a vision service to remind us that it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. May God use us to be like Jesus, but it is about what he has done for us on the cross. If you're a guest here today, you're not a member of the church, but you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to know you're welcome to this table, and we invite you to participate. And as the emblems come your way, the symbols of the body and the blood of Jesus, the bread and the juice, hold them and we'll partake together the symbols of his great sacrifice. Lord Jesus, as we come to this very sacred moment, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I consecrate these symbols of your great sacrifice to our souls. May we be lifted up and inspired to serve you with greater faithfulness and, yes, even greater faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, the blood, the crimson love, the price of life's demand.